is the KZFR Events Calendar. I'm Ricky Anderson. KZFR's Fall Pledge Drive is coming. It's October 19th through October 28th. Coming Friday, November 11th, it's the David Nelson Band, the Chico Women's Club. Tickets on sale at kzfr.org. Wednesday, November 16th, it's Deborah Cowan and John Roberts live on BCAC-TV and on KZFR. More details soon. November 18th, it's Front Country at the Chico Women's Club. December 2nd, Swamp Zen and Friends at the Chico Women's Club. Friday, December 16th, Jonathan Richmond at the Chico Women's Club. And coming for New Year's Eve, we will have a KZFR New Year's Eve party at the Chico Women's Club. Thanks for listening to KZFR.org. Pick up our mobile apps. Take us anywhere you go.
Non-Human Radio is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Knockout Collision Repair, Chico's high-tech auto body shop specializing in complete collision repair and restoration. At Knockout Collision, estimates are always free and can usually be done while you wait, and they even handle all the insurance paperwork. For an appointment or information, call Knockout Collision Repair at 899-9202. Or visit knockoutcollisionrepair.com. And by Chico Natural Foods. The co-op has recently added a hot food and salad bar and is open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Chico Natural Foods, Chico's community-owned grocery store, has been providing local, organic, and sustainably produced food for more than 40 years. Have you seen the co-op lately? This is KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Welcome to Non-Human Radio, where we talk animal rights and veganism every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. here on KZFR 90.1 FM or online at kzfr.org. You can also find us on Facebook at Non-Human Radio. I'm Jeannie Trezino.
And I'm Danny Toms. Today, we'll be talking about legislation passed in California this year that helped non-human animals. We'll also be chatting about our vegan restaurant pick of the week.
Yeah, we haven't done that in a while. Yeah.
Over now back to Jeannie in our high-tech non-human radio newsroom.
Thank you, Danny. Let's get on with the show. This year, dogs had a very good year in California. In July, Governor Brown signed AB 1825, which allows animal sanctuaries, veterinarians, and other qualified people to assess dogs' behavior before labeling them as vicious. Usually vicious means primarily that dogs seized from illegal fighting rings aren't automatically euthanized. This compassionate legislation gives dogs with cruel owners a chance at rehabilitation. Once it goes into effect, canine victims of cruelty will get a second chance and potentially be able to have a new beginning, said Brandy Kunzel, Director of Advocacy for the San Francisco Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. State law had previously classified as vicious any dog that hurts a person without provocation. The label generally automatically applies to all dogs from fighting rings when their owners were convicted of felony dog fighting. Lawmakers and animal advocates say the label vicious is often a death sentence. If the so-called vicious dogs are not put down by animal control, the law requires owners to license and confine them. But now, under this new bill, these dogs will have a second chance to live their lives as ordinary canine companions. AB 1825 passed the State Assembly with a unanimous vote and the State Senate with an overwhelming majority. In this type of legislation, where there's both bipartisan and popular support and no fiscal impact, I think it's really interesting to look at who holds out and votes no on these kinds of things.
And that is very curious.
Yeah, so I looked at the legislative record on the ca.gov website, and there the record showed that there are only two state senators voted no on this bill. And one of them was a guy named Ted Gaines, who's a Republican representing the 1st Senate District of California. And when you look up the map of that district, it's MODOC, Lassen, Plumas, Sierra, Placer counties, El Dorado, and Alpine counties, all of our highly rural counties. It does not include Butte County, thank goodness. So anyway, it makes you wonder, right? When an elected official votes against a bill like this, I mean, it's unlikely that Ted Gaines actually wants to protect dog fighting rings and or that he wants these dogs to be killed, right?
You know, you can only go by the vote, so it's hard to read into what the intent was there. I think some Republicans just vote no on every bill if it's sponsored not by a Republican. Who was the, you know, who's the originator of this bill is one thing. Some want to prevent any form of compassion or rights for any animals, right?
Yeah, I don't know. It had no fiscal impact, according to the legislative analysis, which is a nonpartisan analysis. I was just very, very surprised. So
yeah, I think obviously dog fighting is terrible, and people involved in dog fighting are terrible human beings. And I think this law makes total sense if you think about it. Right? They sadly, you know, they gather up dogs from somewhere. And then they begin training them for dog fighting. So there's certainly always going to be a large percentage of dogs that, you know, they might have stolen those dogs last week.
Yep.
And they've
yep.
never been in a fight, and heretofore they've been basically condemned to death.
Right. In the dog fighting, quote, business, there are the dogs that do the fighting, and then there's also bait dogs.
Right.
And those are dogs that if you want to rehome your dog and you put an ad on Craigslist, free to good home, you better be darn careful that your dog is not going to get scooped up by someone who presents as providing the best home, but then is maybe that dog will end up as a bait dog.
Right, and I think generally with animal adoption, that's why you want, you know, a minimal token fee of a $20 adoption fee or basic shots being applied, because that tends to weed out these right. types of folks because they're not going to pay any money.
So moving on, a related compassionate bill that Governor Brown signed was a bill banning shelters from gassing animals with carbon dioxide to euthanize them. Incredibly, looking into this issue, California passed a law in 1998 that banned all gas chambers, which are also known as asphyxiation chambers, and that's what they used to use instead of injectables to sedate and euthanize animals. Those gas chambers primarily use carbon monoxide to euthanize the animals. And so the legislation left a big loophole because it failed to write it closely enough to include carbon chambers that used carbon dioxide. Just incredible to me. Anyway, and in California, we had one of these types of carbon dioxide gas chambers still in operation in the city of Coalinga. So this bill closed a loophole that a single California city was still utilizing.
Yeah, that's terrible. And I think this rings a bell. I feel like I heard about this a few years ago, too.
Yeah, right in 1998. It was like, ban the gas chamber. Right. That was what was assumed to be a humane way to put down homeless animals in animal shelters or by animal control. HSUS, the Humane Society of the United States, reports that there are now just 4 states that use asphyxiation chambers, period, to euthanize dogs and cats. That would be Ohio, Nevada, Wyoming, and Missouri, not California, thank goodness.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, this points out a couple of things, really. You know, as a you know, democratic republic the United States is, we always have this pushback against intensively federalized laws, right? So we have some states' rights, counties can do certain things, you know, to prevent oppression and tyranny and King George coming back from the grave or whatever. But then there's very common things that are, you know, basic animal rights, human rights, health care issues that really should be federal and equal across the states. And so it's always amazing when you have a situation like this where everybody's recognizing this is illegal or wrong or immoral, but hey, the guys in the next state, they're still thinking about it. It doesn't make any sense.
Yep.
And it's unfortunate.
So, you know, animal advocates have to take this battle state by state. And
yep.
It looks like we've taken it to most of them with just these 4 outliers.
There's something those Ohio, Nevada, and Wyoming, and Missouri have in common also.
So, yeah. Anyway, so in the end, you know, looking at these 2 pieces of legislation, I see that, you know, they specifically address dogs and cats, primarily dogs. And that I think it's important to understand that animal advocates don't see these particular types of legislation as the end goals. right? The larger goal of all animal advocates is to change the culture so that there's no more companion animal euthanasia at animal, quote, shelters altogether.
Right.
So the goals are to actually prevent pet homelessness in the first place by encouraging spay and neuter so there's no unwanted litters, increasing the adoption of dogs and cats from shelters. So encouraging people to rescue an animal instead of going out and buying an animal or a pedigreed animal. And for our listeners who don't know, there's plenty of breed rescues. So if your ideal dog is an Afghan hound or a basset hound or a little terrier, there are breed rescues out there, maybe not in Chico itself. But there are breed rescues out there that are pulling these dogs, these pedigree dogs from shelters, because there's plenty of them that are found in shelters. And they're available to you for adoption.
Yeah, I mean, at the risk of offending our kind listeners, if you're buying an animal from a breeder, you are contributing to this problem, because breeders give you animals that are not fixed, because that's part of their inherent value. And the majority of these ants, certain percentage of the animals are going to get away, or you're going to try to breed them yourself, and pretty soon you have too many animals. A very simple process to say every animal adopted from a shelter has to be fixed. I think that's already.
Yes, it is.
That's a shelter process. All we have to do is apply that law to quote-unquote pet stores and breeders, and people go nuts whenever you talk about this. But if you look at the amount, the low amount of actual animal, registered animal breeders or backyard breeders, people buying those animals versus the actual huge amount of unspayed pets and the impact on our economy. Again, it's one of these things where the law and the culture is sort of bending over for some, bending over backwards for some one percentage of a very fringe group, which is causing a tremendous amount of monetary, ethical, moral, animal, non-human, you know, damage.
Yeah, so to go along with my bullet points, I think the last element in terms of changing the culture is to help people keep their pets if money is short, right? I think that there's a lot of animal surrenders, quote, surrenders to our animal shelters are because somebody's moving and they can't take their animal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also relaxing housing restrictions so that it's easier for folks to move with their animals. So, yeah.
Definitely.
Anyway. So, and then also just to riff on these asphyxiation chambers, which are just horrific, and now they've been banned entirely in California. These things are actually used in farmed animal agriculture.
Right.
In Australia, they're used to stun pigs before they're slaughtered, and even in the United States, they're used for chickens. They're supposed to make it more humane slaughter these animals.
To use up our time and go on a random tangent, a couple of us just watched Deadpool, the movie, the other night based off the X-Men character. And X-Men are humans that have certain mutant powers. And so they're trying to turn Deadpool into a mutant through a process where they basically give him a drug. They torture him to elicit an extreme reaction to kick in this mutant gene. The method of torture horrific that it's chosen for a movie and made a big point of in the movie is suffocation. And so here we have not just these lingering folks doing it, but it's the norm for certain aspects of animal agriculture.
Yeah, so it's just, you know, if it's not okay for dogs and cats, how is it okay for chickens and pigs, yeah, right?
What's a cognitive dissonance? Is that the word we use?
Yes, it is.
Inconsistency.
So if you just tuned in, you're listening to Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, community-supported radio. We are recapping a few pieces, not all the pieces, of animal legislation that were made into law in California this year. So before we move on to the next story, which Danny will be talking about, there's one more good piece of good news that I want to share. And that was just 2 weeks ago on September 24th, Governor Brown signed into law Assembly Bill 797, the Right to Rescue Bill. This bill protects Good Samaritans who take action to save an animal locked inside a hot car. And in Chico, that hot season starts as soon as, I don't know, March. And goes, it's you know, it'll go on now, too.
I mean, statistically, if all the windows are closed or even cracked an inch, at 70 degrees, you're still going to rapidly get too hot.
Yep. So what this does is it allows people to receive legal immunity, the immunity from being sued for damage to a car. So to do that, I'll give you the steps so that you can do it and be safe. One, you need to determine that the car is indeed locked. Yes, please do that. You need to reasonably believe that the animal is in imminent danger, if not immediately removed. And with critters, that imminent danger happens pretty quick in a locked, windows-up car.
Yeah, if it's sunny and the windows are up, they're in imminent danger.
And that you're supposed to contact law enforcement prior to entering the vehicle, and by entering, they mean smashing a window, and to use no more force than necessary to enter the vehicle, so don't do excess damage to the vehicle. Don't dent it up if you don't have to.
Accidentally broke all your windows.
And if you do enter the vehicle and remove the animal, you must remain nearby with the animal in a safe location until law enforcement arrives, and law enforcement can be animal control, and you cannot leave the scene. So there you have it. I hope you never have to do this. But in case you do, this is the responsible way to save a dog or cat that you see in a locked car. Or a human, I would suppose, too. There have been cases of people walking away with their babies.
Yeah, I wonder if there's a loophole here that if it's a baby, actually they'll arrest you or something because they forgot to put it in the law.
Anyway, I'm happy to say that this bill passed unanimously. Even our good senator, state senator Ted Gaines, voted for this law.
Finally.
So good for him. He's not all bad. So, yeah. On to Danny. You have some other news for us to hear about?
Yes, this is about our California governor signing a bill banning SeaWorld orca shows. Yay. So, on September 13th, Governor Jerry Brown approved legislation that basically forces SeaWorld to follow through on its plan to end killer whale breeding and entertainment shows. He signed a bill that makes SeaWorld's previously announced plans to stop breeding and exhibiting orcas into enforceable law, complete with severe penalties.
So, I just have to say, that's remarkable, right? I mean, like, for the legislature to step in to what's essentially one company and their actions.
Yeah, I mean, it's years and, you know, dozens of years of activism, and then finally Blackfish coming out, and then Governor Brown kind of saying, oh, you said you'll do this? I'm just going to encourage you to actually do it, right?
Yeah.
Cut out the loophole. So, as we said, after years of public protests by animal activists condemning its use and abuse of killer whales for entertainment, and after the release of Blackfish in 2014, which was a documentary about this, SeaWorld faced massive public disapproval all over social media, celebrities, everybody. They had declining ticket sales, plummeting share prices. They resisted constantly. They evaded it. And then, of course, as they lost more and more money in a last-ditch effort, they announced in March of 2016, 2 years later, that they would no longer breed orcas and would stop making the whales do tricks at its amusement parks. The company stated it would focus instead on providing, quote, educational opportunities with its existing whales. However, according to its website, SeaWorld still intends to conduct scheduled orca shows for park attendees, but it will do so in ways it says are more educational and respectful manner, which I believe is what this law is now preventing. We're reminded of the Upton Sinclair quote, "It is difficult to get a man to understand something when his salary depends upon his not understanding it." I think that's a very wise quote. In general for activism, right? Like, follow the money, get to the root of the money.
Yeah,
that's how, unfortunately, you're going to change things in our situation, in our government. So anyway, SB 839 is a broad public services bill covering many different regulatory areas, and it contains a provision that makes it a crime for an individual or a corporation to breed orcas in captivity, a crime punishable by fine of up to $100,000. That actually seems like a reasonable fine. That would stop them from doing it, for sure. This means that SeaWorld cannot carry on with their previously mentioned plans to attempt to breed more baby killer whales in California. As we already noted with the legislation previously discussed about closing the loopholes for carbon dioxide versus carbon monoxide chambers that euthanize cats and dogs, if there is a loophole, the animal exploiters will find it and use it. So in this case, it's probably pretty obvious that initially SeaWorld will just focus its breeding program outside of California until we take down the other states one by one. As another aside, our friend Senator Ted Gaines from our first Senate district, he didn't support this bill either and voted no on it. I wonder, why, Ted Gaines, why do you hate animals? Call us and let us know. Our own Senator Jim Nielsen, who represents the 4th Senate District, which includes our lovely Butte County, also voted no on it. I'd also like to hear from you, Jim Nielsen.
Exactly, right? I mean,
remind you that voting is in a few weeks.
So, I mean, it was a bill that had, when I looked it up, it had a bunch of different sections on it. So, the back door is maybe there was like one of these other provisions that they didn't care for, okay. And it wasn't the Orca thing.
And that also shows the way, you know, our government can set up a situation where nothing gets passed by creating bills constantly that nobody will agree with, and thus preventing any real progress, and therefore you didn't vote no on anything and you get reelected, or you didn't pass any legislation that anyone will disagree with. So it's pretty sad that it's simply not enough that killer whales are creatures who deserve to live their lives in peace. So animal activists are calling for SeaWorld to release them into sea sanctuaries, and then if possible, rehabilitate them and release them into the wild. That can be problematic, and that's why you want to go through a sanctuary first and make sure it's going to make sense. As animal activist Josh Hooten once wrote, there's a misconception that animal rights people are trying to take away other people's freedom to eat or wear what they want. In fact, it isn't a matter of trying to take something away. It's about trying to give something to the animals, which is the simple right to live without torment, suffering, confinement, and premature death. Animal rights activists are not fighting against people. They are fighting for the animals.
Hallelujah.
So it's, you know, it's really a matter of agency and resetting the system, so.
All right.
Yeah, this is good news. I mean, you know, when I was a kid, my great aunt was a big fan of the big aquarium in Santa Cruz, which is a very pretty place to go.
And
she'd take us there. And over time, as I just was just like, but these things are in these just tiny little things, you know, and maybe you can justify it for a sea snail or something, but you start getting into bigger animals and it doesn't make sense.
And, you know, yeah. And, you know, I don't want to let SeaWorld off the hook because, yeah. You know, good and Marineland, goodness knows, it's not just the whales, the orcas that are at issue
right.
here. It's the walruses and seals and, right. I think they even have some other like terrestrial mammals that they use in their shows. So it's all these animals that
So somehow we can come up with these crafted piece of legislation saying, well, this animal is, you know, shouldn't be subjected to this, but this one that's slightly different from it should. This reminds me of, you know, George Orwell, right? Some animals are more equal than others.
Yes, from Animal Farm.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway. That is enough on legislation. It seems that they've been busy enough passing decent legislation for dogs, cats, and orcas, and a little less decent. I really didn't find anything noteworthy about legislation for farmed animals.
Yeah.
So
all legislation and law sets a precedent, though. So these are all great bills to move forward. You'll see other states copy other states' bills.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Everything goes back and forth.
Definitely. Anyway, so now we're going to come on to our long-lost non-human radio feature that we haven't done in months. It's the vegan pig of the week. So, Danny, why don't you get us started on the pig of the week?
Sure. It's so long and lost and such an old favorite that I haven't wasn't even on the show when it was happening. so we're bringing it back, the vegan pig of the week. As we've mentioned before, Chico is not exactly bursting at the seams with great vegan food, but every now and then we uncover a vegan-friendly place and as good, hungry little vegans, we get very excited about it, and we want to talk about it. So this weekend, Jeannie and I and some friends finally checked out Farm Star Pizza, which is a local favorite and is on the Esplanade. So, yeah, it was delicious, and we're going to go back tonight. What did you like about it, Jeannie?
Most of all, I like the crust. They have a regular whole wheat crust that is vegan, which pizza crust should be if you're
right.
doing it traditionally. I won't name which pizza places in Chico actually have dairy or egg added into their crust that makes it not vegan, but
right.
Farm Star does not. It's a very very crispy crust.
Yeah.
That was the main thing that I noticed about
it. It's kind of like it was crispy but chewy but the right thickness. My friend has his own sort of backyard stone pizza oven, and it was very close to kind of that wood-fired pizza dough, very traditional, I would say, Italian sort of pizza dough.
Yeah, and they use all the pizzas are all one size. You can start it with a basic no topping pizza for $10, and then you can start loading stuff on, which as vegans you kind of have to do,
right?
Because almost every one of their options has got some kind of gratuitous cheesy cow cheesy topping on it, whether it's the pesto or the feta that they have to
right.
toss onto it. But of their veggies on there, really really high quality stuff and not stuff that I've seen at other restaurants, which I think may make sense because Farmstar is owned by the same people who opened the Red Tavern. So they do like local stuff.
And that's, that was one of their claims, is they're getting local produce and products. And that was what was really interesting to me, because it's not the same old black olives, bell peppers, onions, tomatoes. They had a little heirloom cherry tomatoes.
They had figs.
What were the greens that we had?
They had arugula,
which was, I think, sautéed or seasoned right. It wasn't just like raw arugula. They have caramelized onions. I'm thinking of the pizza I'm going to order later.
They were very good pizzas, and a little quibble. It's kind of hard to pick out which toppings because they don't have the standard list.
Right.
Of toppings, so you have to kind of look at what they are serving on their other pizzas and say, I want some of that, I want some of that, and then move from there. But it was enjoyable.
Yeah, I think they have a gluten-free crust, but it's not vegan.
Yeah, warning for folks who are gluten-free that's not a crust for you. But yeah, it was good. It was very enjoyable.
Not any more expensive than anybody else. It was really nice.
It was reasonable.
Shift of pace.
So Farmstar Pizza is located at 2359 Esplanade, Chico, and can be reached on Facebook or at 343-2056. They're open for lunch Monday through Friday and dinner every day of the week. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's good. And now I guess we're going to move on to Jeannie going back to the calendar of local events.
Yes, sir. So all the info on these events as well as other items are posted on our website at nonhumanradio.com. And if you have an event you'd like us to share, an animal-friendly event, contact me via Facebook or at nonhumanradio@gmail.com. The first thing I want to share is this weekend will be the World Veg Fest in San Francisco. It's going to be a gorgeous weekend if today is any judge. Today was one of those fine Chico days. Makes you glad you live here and not in a big city somewhere. It's the 17th annual San Francisco Veg Fest, where they're going to have a bunch of speakers, chefs, and presenters on topics of vegan health, ethics, animal rights, and good eating. It'll start at 10 a.m. and close at 6:30, and you can go to worldvegfestival.com to get tickets or buy tickets at the door.
It's like the World Series. It's world, but it's, United States.
it's worldly.
Yeah.
Sunday, October 16th, more local to us, Animal Place in Grass Valley will be having their second annual Compassion Run, which is a multi-distance trail run, 5 or 10K or a kids run. It's one of the few races that has guaranteed post-race vegan food, which, you can get your banana after a race that's vegan, but this is like, I think they have veggie dogs and maybe some other things. So all the proceeds will benefit Animal Place. The race will start at 9:30 in the morning with a check-in at 8:30. You can register at animalplace.org. And then finally, just a heads up, on November 5th, Farm Sanctuary in Orland will be having their celebration for the turkeys from 12:30 to 4:30 p.m. Come on out and meet some sweet turkeys and celebrate how special, smart, and friendly these beings are, especially as we head into the meat orgy that is Thanksgiving in most of our families. There are also other animals, of course, that are resident at Farm Sanctuary, and you can meet some really nice and dedicated animal activists. The event includes the feeding of the turkey ceremony, lots of sanctuary time so you can visit with the animals, and hay rides, plus special guest speakers, Farm Sanctuary founder Jean Bauer and the National Shelter Manager Susie Costin. And tune in next week, next Wednesday, when we'll have as our special guest Liza Kahn, who works at the Orland Farm Sanctuary, and she'll be also telling us all about the event and how special it is. So we have one last bit of business to take care of.
The Animal Rights Thought of the Week is from an unexpected source, the financial advisor Morgan Housel, from the Motley Fool website, who wrote, "I'm just now believing how stupid we are. It is far easier to fool yourself into believing a falsehood than admit a mistake. A little wisdom for us all."
Yeah, who knew that I would share some guidance on veganism from a personal finance advisor?
Hey, I dropped Deadpool into this, so.
This has been Non-Human Radio is made possible through the generous contributions of KZFR listeners like you. Thank you to Bill Mash, who's sitting in the background here filling in for Sue Hildebrand as our engineering support. Stay tuned for Bill. He'll be hosting Sue's show coming up next.
This has been Non-Human Radio, a production of KZFR 90.1 FM Chico. The views and opinions expressed on this broadcast are those of the hosts and do not reflect the opinions of KZFR, its board, or its staff. Our theme music is Ready to Fall by vegan activist rockers Rise Against.
If you missed any portion of this show or you want to listen again, visit the archives at kzfr.org.